Our scripture for today begins with the Lord appearing to Abraham along with three visitors. And in typical Abraham fashion, he provides the greatest of hospitality to these guests. He asks Sarah to knead and make cakes of the finest flour while instructing a servant to prepare the fattened calf. But we quickly see that the guests are not, in fact, there for Abraham, but instead are there for Sarah, quickly asking, "Where is your wife?" As our eyes begin to move from Abraham to Sarah, the guest speaking continues, "I'm coming back about this time next year, and when I arrive, your wife Sarah will have a son." The guest's words are reiteration of an earlier Abrahamic covenant, where God promises land to Abraham and his faithful and multiple descendants. And at this point, all eyes move to Sarah. And she's listening in secret, an explicit view of her marginal place as one that prepares the food, but is culturally restricted from participating in the conversation. But she hears this guest saying that when he returns in a year's time, that she'll have a child. And Sarah laughed. She laughs right out loud. "After I've grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure? Shall I have the physical pleasure that comes with creating a child? Shall I have the pleasure of having a child, of creating someone who resembles me? Shall I have the pleasure of raising a child, of fulfilling God's prophecy about my husband's descendants, being as numerous as the stars and becoming a great nation in the promised land? Shall I have part in making the people of faith?" I can just see her tucked behind the flap in the tent where she's supposed to be cooking, but instead is placing her ear as close as possible to the conversation. I can imagine laughter pouring out of her as an instant reflex to this absurd claim that she would birth a child. I can hear her cackling. "An old woman like me? With this old man of a husband?" She laughs. "Me? Abraham? These bodies aren't capable of such things." And we laugh at the incongruity of it all, because the claims are absurd. And we can spot incongruity the second we hear it. When pigs fly, when hell freezes over, when 90 and 100-year-olds give birth. We know these things can't be. And so we smile and we chuckle and we move on to the things in our life that we know can be. And that's what Sarah did. That's what we do. And that's what Abraham did just one chapter before in Genesis 17, when God tells him that God's going to bless Sarah with a son, and this great nation will rise. And upon hearing it, Abraham falls on his face laughing. And he says, "Can a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And Sarah is 90. Can she bear a child?" And so Abraham laughed. And Sarah laughed. And I imagine we would laugh too. We laugh because we doubt. We laugh because it's absurd. We laugh because we don't know what else to do, because we're awestruck. Sarah laughs. Perhaps she doubts. Perhaps she's amazed. And her first response is an awkward giggle. I mean, she's already several decades past childbearing years. And those decades must have been so painful for her, watching peers raise children at a time when a woman's worth was so closely tied to her womb. Being a woman without a child was shameful. And it was part of the reason that she instructed Abraham to sleep with Hagar, their servant. In the absence of a child of their own, people likely laughed at her. I doubt, through all of those years, I doubt she ever forgot the promise of progeny that Abraham received from God all those years before. She must have kept that promise at arm's length, perhaps wondering if God's promise was symbolic in some way, maybe thinking that the promise had been revoked because of something they had done. She was over 90. Of course she questioned the legitimacy of God's words. To which God responds, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" Because in fact, no good gift is too wonderful for the Lord. But God does gently qualify that answer, saying, "At a set time, I will return to you. In due season, Sarah will have a son." God always fulfills God's promises, even ones as absurd as the promise to Sarah and to Abraham. Nothing is impossible for God. But it happens at a set time. Nothing is beyond God, but it comes to us at an appointed time, a time that may not make sense to us, but makes perfect sense to God. I'm reminded of a story about a church's knitting circle. They approached their pastor to let him know that they really felt God was calling them to knit shawls and blankets for people in their church who had had surgery or had been very ill. The pastor responded, "Do you know how you're going to do this?" Well, yes, of course. We'll gather each Tuesday like we've been doing to knit these shawls. Our members can also work from home. And once they're made, we'll bring them into worship and the church can bless them. And then we'll get the list from the care team. And we can take them out to the hospitals and people's homes for our members. And the pastor responded, "That's an excellent idea. But it doesn't feel quite right. Let's take a week. I'll pray on it. You pray on it. And next Monday, maybe we can meet and talk about it." And so the circle did. And the next week, before their weekly meeting, a couple of them stick their head in the pastor's office, say, "We prayed. And you know, we think that God is calling us to make some additional prayer blankets for some of the homeless people that stop by the church from time to time. And we thought that, you know, that might be what we're supposed to be doing." And the pastor said, "That sounds great. Do you know how you're going to do that?" "Well, yes, we're going to do the same thing that we had planned before. We'll still make them for the homebound and the sick. We'll pray over them in church, and we'll leave a few in the church office so that if the pastor's there or some church leaders are there, when anyone stops by, we can pass them on and let them know that they're loved by our community." And the pastor said, that sounds good, but still something just isn't sitting quite right with me. So let's pray on it, and maybe we can talk next week." And so a week later, this time after their knitting circle meeting, they've been talking the whole time, and the pastor sticks his head in the door. "How's it going?" "You know, it's going well, but we've been talking. And a couple of us, we felt like God was saying that we should knit blankets for all the homeless people in our community." "How are you going to do that?" "We have no idea." And then they just continue to laugh. There are so few of us and so many unhoused people. well, we'll certainly have to pray about it. But this sounds like something we can get down to. We may not know how to do it, but we'll figure out how to make it possible. And so Sarah heard that she would bear a child in her old age. And like the quilt circle, she had no idea how it was going to happen. But in God's time, their son was born. And he was named Isaac, meaning laughter, or he laughed. And once he was born, Sarah proclaimed, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." She invites others. She invites everyone to laugh with her. We laugh together in response to Isaac's silly faces. We'll laugh together at his blowout diapers and later at his teenage angst. At this point, Sarah's no longer in the tent with her ear pressed to it, listening to the visitors. As laughter bursts forth at such an absurd claim. Instead, she's wet with sweat from the work of labor, exhausted but glowing as she wraps her arms around her bundle of joy and laughs. And laughs. But this time, this laughter, it carries more joy. It expresses amazement and wonder. Sarah knows that women her age do not have children. But her journey with God has nurtured a faith beyond her own understanding. She still has doubt at how she was able to bear Isaac at such an old age, but how she and he will make it through this whole thing. She's awestruck. But those doubts no longer trouble her as she realizes, I have borne a son. Sarah was not a perfect saint. She was not a perfect wife or a perfect woman. She was an old lady who doubted, who feared, who laughed, who helped create a people of faith. And God blessed her abundantly. For Sarah, the word of God is fulfilled. And for us, the word of God is fulfilled. The impossible is made possible, and laughter abounds. Amen.